In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? In the 1960s, the era I grew up in, everybody wanted to be an astronaut. This was the time of the Gemini and Apollo space flights and the very first lunar landing. Science was very much on everyone's minds then. Probably I've mentioned before that I started college as a biology major and worked for several years as a medical technologist before answering the call to go to seminary. It's likely that much of what I knew about science and the work that I did in the lab are obsolete now. Science has moved on. Things have changed. We are blessed to be living in an era when advances in science and technology have improved our quality of living so much. Famines used to be a catastrophe that would happen occasionally, killing huge numbers of people. We have the ability now to grow the food that we need and even more. And much of the credit for that goes to modern things like insecticides and herbicides and modern food preservation techniques and transportation. Diseases that used to be a death sentence are now easily curable. Infections such as tuberculosis that could become deadly are treated with antibiotics. Vaccines have virtually eliminated smallpox and polio. We thank God for science. Some people say, though, that science and religion are at odds with one another, that the two are incompatible, that you can either believe in what science says or believe what the Bible says, but you can't believe both. Is that true? What do you think about that? Yes? No? Maybe? It's a fascinating question and much too complex for a simple binary yes or no answer. Yet our faith does have an answer for that tough question. Some history. Most of the great historic colleges and universities started out as religious institutions and seminaries. Harvard was one of those. Theology, the study of God, to use the language of a previous time, was considered the queen of sciences. Other disciplines, such as biology and chemistry, were considered to be her handmaidens. Science was seen as serving and being under theology. It was believed, and it's true, that God gave us a book called the Bible that is his most complete and thorough revelation of himself. It is also true that nature is like a book, that God reveals to us the beauty and the complexity of his creation. We look at nature and we know that there must be an intelligent designer behind it. We read the Bible and we learn specifically who that designer is. Science and nature show us that there is a God. The Bible tells us about our God who loves and redeems us. Scientific study, then, is a means that God gives us to better understand his creation. Through observation and experimentation, we see how wisely and magnificently God made the cosmos, from the microscopic creatures to galaxies bigger than anything we can imagine. In his time and in his way, God is unfolding the universe for us. And through sciences, God is blessing us with discoveries and inventions that improve human life. Some people say that science disproves the existence of God. Anyone who says that doesn't understand science and certainly doesn't understand God. God's existence or non-existence cannot be proven or disproven scientifically. The reality of God is not a scientific question. How could one possibly create an experiment that would prove or disprove that there's a God? It just can't be done. Science is one way among many of understanding the world. Psychologists, sociologists, political scientists, artists, and people of faith all see the world a little differently. There is not a treasury of objective facts making up this thing that we call science, that we are discovering little by little until we know everything. Science is a method, and its facts are ever-changing. There is no such thing as settled science. Science, by its definition, is always inquiring, always learning more, always challenging the status quo. For instance, Sir Isaac Newton described the power of gravity and defined other characteristics of nature. We call that Newtonian mechanics. These were readily apparent as truth and led to a lot of great helpful inventions. But then came Einstein's theory of relativity and ideas like quantum mechanics, challenging some of Newton's definitions, challenging our understanding of the physical world. Now, there are theories that modify or even defy what modern physics thinks it knows. The world isn't changing, but scientific theories and our understanding of nature are. Another example. Back in the late 19th century and early 20th century, you could buy over-the-counter patent medicines that had opioids in them. Some had poisons in them, like ethylene glycol, that's antifreeze. One was even radioactive. In the 1930s and 40s, tuberculosis was treated by deflating one of your lungs or removing one of your ribs. Then there was thalidomide, which was a drug given to pregnant women that turned out to cause horrific birth defects. In their time, all of these were considered modern, cutting-edge science. Am I saying that we can't ever trust science? No, I am not. What I am saying is that we have to know science's proper place and function. Our Lutheran faith and doctrine address these kinds of issues. Our Lutheran confessions often talk about reason and nature, which I will equate here with science. Science is not a master that we have to follow blindly and slavishly serve. Lutherans call that the magisterial use of reason, and we reject it. Science is a tool in our hand that we wield cautiously to serve us and our needs. We call that the ministerial use of reason, and we accept it. Luther said your God is whoever or whatever you ultimately trust to save you. Some people look to science as their savior. You may have heard a few years back about people who had their bodies frozen, or at least their heads after they died, so that they would be preserved in the hope that somewhere in the future there would be a cure for whatever disease had killed them and that they could be brought back to life, healed, and live forever. We trust God for our eternal life. Some people say they believe the Bible insofar as the Bible agrees with science. What they are really saying is that they believe in science and not the Bible, since for them, science has veto power over the Bible. Science, then, is their ultimate authority, not the Word of God. We trust in God's inspired, infallible, unchanging Word. Those who value and worship science over God are the kind of people that Jeremiah was talking about in our first reading. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Our human nature is corrupted by sin. Even nature's nature is corrupted by sin. Without God's guidance, which he gives us through his word, we inevitably misunderstand things and go in wrong directions. We see that today among those who doubt and deny Christ's resurrection, a topic that Paul took up in our epistle reading. The whole of our Christian faith depends on one physical, we might say one scientific fact, that Jesus rose from the dead. Paul says quite plainly that if Christ is not raised from the dead, we are all wasting our times being Christians. We might as well leave the church and go home and never come back. It's easy to understand why people might be skeptical about the resurrection. We've never seen anything like it. Science tells us, and our own experience confirms, that dead people stay dead. I've done almost 400 funerals in my career, and I've never seen any one of them come back to life. I think I'd remember it if they did. So, based on what evidence do we have the audacity to say that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How do we shut down the people who say our faith is a fairy tale? Science doesn't have the final word, but I'll start with a scientific, logic-based argument. Science says that matter cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change forms. So where did the first matter and energy in the universe come from? We say God created. Science says, we don't know. We can't explain it. It was just always there. Score 1 point for the Christian faith. Science says that life does not spontaneously happen. All life forms come from things that are already alive. So then the Christian asks, how did human life develop? We say God created. And science responds, we don't know. We can't explain it. It just happened. Score another point for Christian faith. Finally, Christian faith says, if God can create matter and energy out of nothing, and he can make life out of those, what could stop him from bringing dead matter to life if he wanted to? Nothing, right? That's what he did with Jesus. And science is silent. That's 3 points, 3 strikes, a shutout, and a hat trick. That's a Super Bowl victory. And to pile on the evidence, Paul tells us that more than 500 people saw the risen Christ. When Paul was writing that, most of those who were eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection were still living. Paul simply couldn't lie because the people he was writing to could check it out for themselves with the people who saw Jesus firsthand. To us who believe, it's just obvious. To those who don't believe, maybe no number of witnesses could convince them. But still, we keep trying for their sake, for the sake of their salvation. Why some people believe and some don't, only God knows. We should pray for them. And we should rejoice in the gifts of faith and science that God has so generously blessed us with, and rejoice even more in our risen Lord. Amen.